of them tonight, but to start with, let's just look right here at verse 12. Verse 12, okay. Oh, yeah, John, I'm sorry. John 8. John chapter 8. Thank y'all. Keep me on track. You knew how many verses I had, 59 verses. I told you that, right? See, that should have told you right there. Y'all are thinking he's in Isaiah tonight, right? John 8. Go to verse 12. John 8:12, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The light of life. And then look at verse 53. "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" So the Lord's already told him he's the light of the world. He said, "I am the light of the world." By the time you get to the end of this, they're basically saying, "Who do you think you are?" That's what that phrase there, "Whom makest thou thyself?" They're really saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Who do you think you are?" Right there. And so it's pretty interesting. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought: see Jesus for who He is. See Jesus for who He is. On that PA there, you remember how to do the scenes? Is it on the Wednesday night setting? It is? Okay. All right. It's a little loud up here. If you want to turn the lapel monitor down just a tad, it might help up here. I don't know what you're hearing out there. All right. So in verse 12, "I am the light of the world." Verse 53, basically, "Who do you think you are?" So we need to see Jesus for who He is. We'll go back and look at other verses here in a few moments. Now, the Lord's enemies are very prominent here in chapter 8. All right, all of y'all looking down. Y'all reading the whole chapter? All right, y'all want me to read more verses now? So everybody's reading the Bible. My dad used to do that. If he wasn't getting nothing out of the preaching, he'd just read his Bible. So, I guess that's what's going on. But anyway, Christ's enemies are very prominent here. Y'all do what you want. In this chapter. All right. So you know it opens up with the woman caught in adultery, which was a trap that didn't work. Amen, right? And after Jesus got done with them, remember, He stooped down, wrote in the sand, and then He finally just stood up, and "He that is without sin." And the Bible says they were convicted, and they went on their way. But it was a trap, trying to catch Jesus in something. So then from there, the rest of this chapter, beginning in verse 12 all the way down through verse 59, really is a debate and an argument. They are attacking Jesus, they are mocking Jesus, they are refusing to believe Jesus, they are resisting Jesus. So His enemies are very, very prominent here. And we'll look at some of the conversation, all right? We'll get to that here shortly and look at it. But it's a long-pointed debate, and they never could win against Jesus. And we'll see how that is true here. But remember, who are we talking about? We're talking about the religious leaders, the teachers of the Word, the teachers of the Old Testament law, but they were very envious when Jesus came on the scene. Because they thought they had control over the people and over everything, and Jesus comes along and the crowds are going after Him and He outsmarts them on everything, and so all they can think of from this point is to get rid of Him. So they want to catch Him in His words. They want to trip Him up. This woman caught in adultery and that whole situation there. It's another story, but it didn't have the effect they wanted it to have. So then having this argument with the Lord about who He really is just goes on and on until they finally are like, "Who do you think you are?" Whenever they ask that question there in verse 53. So I'm talking about this. See Jesus for who He is. They failed in that. They revered Abraham more than they did Jesus. They resisted him, refused him, denied him, and would not believe on him. All right? Now, you and I are here on Wednesday night church. We're Christian people. We're in the church tonight. We're not that, and we don't want to be that, but a lot of people are. But we still need to build our faith up in who Jesus is. We still need to be reminded on a regular basis of who it is that we worship and who it is that we're witnessing for and who it is that we're looking for to return. Now, just a few thoughts I jotted down. Let me give you this tonight. Number one, I'll just say this. Belief is crucial, the crucial element. Belief is the crucial element. That's the whole issue here, is that Jesus is telling them who He is, and they do not want to believe in who He is. Now, He said, "I am the light of the world." Now, in verse 12, and then in verse 13, verse 13, "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." Now, people back in those days had to have two witnesses, and Jesus went on and said, I'm a witness and my Father is a witness. Doesn't matter what you folks say. But they said, "You bear record of yourself, and your record is not true." If you tell somebody what they said is not true, you're saying, "I don't believe you." Belief is the crucial element here with God in all things. Now, look at verse 24. Jesus here, "And I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believest not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." That's the third time, by the way, he used that phrase, "You'll die in your sins." Now look, you can either die in your sins or you can die in Christ. And you know the result of either of those, right? But what was the crucial element there? Belief. He said, if you don't believe on me and believe what I'm telling you about who I am, you'll die in your sins. All right? Verse 45. Jump to verse 45. We'll look at more, but just highlighting right now. Verse 45. He said, "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." God wants to be believed. If we don't believe God, again, we make God out to be a liar. Well, God's not a liar. They said, your record is not true. And He said, "I tell you the truth, and you believe it not." So you believe me not. They didn't believe the message. They didn't believe the man. They did not see Jesus for who He was. Now, you know, the Lord wanted their faith and their trust. But you know what? That requires humility, doesn't it? For somebody to say, "I believe Jesus is who He says He is, and I want Him to be my Savior, I want Him to forgive me my sins," you've got to be humble, and you have to be teachable. You have to have a teachable spirit. They did not have that because, again, they think they're the teachers. But now here it is, they're the teachers of the Word. Well, the Word literally is standing right in front of them, talking to them, and they resist and refuse to believe. That is the crucial matter that you have to have. So to them, Jesus was a threat. They're supposed to be the shepherds over the people of God, over Israel at that time. They were supposed to be the shepherds, but rather than be the shepherds, they wanted to lord over the people. You know, Peter talked about how a pastor doesn't lord over the people, right? A pastor is never to be a dictator. Now, some are. I understand that. I get that. Somebody talked to me about a situation recently about their pastor, and they were like, "Well, we can't talk to him. Every time we try to talk to him about something, he blows up and gets mad and angry." That's the tactic he uses to keep you from talking to him about anything, I guess. But that's not what you're supposed to do. You should receive things with meekness, even the pastor, right? But they wanted, instead of being the shepherds of Israel and the people of God, they wanted to lord over the people, so they got jealous when the people started looking to Jesus. And the people started to go towards Him and towards His way. They had become important in their own eyes. They didn't see Him as the light of the world. They thought they were the light. They thought they were the light of Israel, but that wasn't the case. They rejected the light of the Lord as He told them in verse 12. Verse 12, He says, "I am." That's a big deal. I am. By the way, when He said, "I am," he claimed to be the same one that talked to Moses. I am who I am, right? He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life. Well, they were in darkness. Even though they were teachers of the law, they were in darkness. They didn't know they were in darkness, but they were. He told them that he was the Messiah. He told them he was the Christ. He told them he was the promised one. He told them that he was the Son of the Father in heaven. He told them that he was the heaven-sent one. But again, they did not want to have anything to do with the message or the man, and they refused to believe. Folks, faith in God's Word is a must. There's no salvation without it. As he mentioned three times, there's no forgiveness of sins without faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. You know, there's no salvation without faith. There's no spiritual growth without faith. There's no answered prayer without faith, right? There's no looking for the Lord without faith. There's no sanctification without faith. There's no progress in your spiritual life or your church life without faith and trust in God, right? It is the crucial element. It's where everything starts. You trust the Lord for your salvation, then you trust the Lord with your problems. And it's hard. Nobody ever said it was easy. It is hard to do. It can be difficult to do oftentimes. But we know the alternative, he said, was to die in your sins. Because faith in Christ is the only way to salvation. The only way to forgiveness. It's the only way to heaven. In John 3, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Three times in that verse, he talks about faith and belief. And people say, well, I think I'll try to make it to heaven. No, if you don't believe Christ and you don't trust Him as your Savior, you're condemned already. The only thing that's going to take away that condemnation is faith in Christ. And like these folks right here, you can be a church member, you can be a church goer, you can be religious, but until you put faith in Christ, you're lost, right? So somebody, a preacher said years ago about the two thieves on the cross, one of them went to heaven that day. And he kind of imagined, you know, when he got to heaven, Peter probably said, did you go to church? And I ain't never been to church. Did you get baptized? I ain't never been baptized. Well, were you a missionary? No, I've never told nobody. What have you done? I hadn't done nothing. Then why are you here? He said, because the man on the middle cross said I could come. That is the way of salvation. He believed the Word. Amen. He believed the Lord. Now, good. Don't get me wrong. You ought to do some things after you're saved, but that guy, well, that was a deathbed salvation right there. He didn't have time. And those folks who say you got to be baptized to be saved, they have a hard time with that fellow right there. Amen. You know, he never had a chance to get baptized. We ought to get baptized. We ought to go to church. We ought to witness. We ought to serve after we get saved. But that doesn't get you saved. Faith in Christ and believing the gospel gets you saved. We got to know who Jesus is what we're talking about tonight. See Jesus for who He is. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the one that will forgive your sins and take you to heaven, right? But faith is the crucial element. All right, number two. Believers keep God's Word. Believers will keep God's Word. Now, look at verse 29. In the conversation, by the way, the words in red, if you got a Bible with the words in red, you know those are the words of Jesus. They're not any more important than, it's all the Word, right? So I heard somebody say this recently, the words in red are almost like in quotations, if you will. If it's in red, it's quotations. Jesus said it, right? Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone. Look at this. For I do always those things that please Him. Now, what did I say? Believers keep God's Word. Jesus gave the example. He said, everything I do, I get from the Father, and everything I do is to please Him. Right? Okay. Let's look at this. Verse 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. What did I say? Believers keep God's word. He said, if you continue in my word, no doubt about it, you're a follower of Christ indeed, right? So you know that they follow, if they're following the Lord and keeping His Word. Verse 47, jump to verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, he that heareth God's words, he that is of God heareth His words, keepeth His words. He said they didn't hear them nor keep them because they were not of God anyway. You say, wait a minute, these are the priests, these are the scribes, these are the religious elite. He said, you're not of God because you won't hear My words. All right? So I think that makes the point. Believers keep God's word. You know, folks, I believe this today. If a person's truly saved, you know what they're going to do? They're going to live by that book right there. They're going to live by the Bible. They're going to keep the words. They want to hear the words. They're hungry for the word, and they want to live by the word. That's a sign of salvation. He said, if you do that, you are My disciples indeed. I mean, it is a sure sign if somebody gets saved and they follow through and they live for God and they do the things that are in this book, that's a pretty good sign they got saved. They really got it. Amen? I'm saying this tonight. Believers keep God's word. These folks right here resisted God. They argued with the Lord. They did not receive His word. True Christians live by the word. You know, Jesus said elsewhere in Luke 6, why call ye Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He said, you call Me Lord, but you don't do what I tell you. Something's not right about that. Look, I know somebody can, a Christian can live in the flesh. A Christian can get backslidden. I get that. But I believe the Lord's going to work on them, and the Word and the Spirit's going to work on them and bring them back. And I'm just saying, believers are those who keep His Word. They keep the Word of God. Christians, I think, they live and talk and act, and can I say even dress, according to the Bible. Not the world, the Bible. Amen? Act and behave like a Christian according to the Bible. The Bible is what we're to live by. We're not to resist it. We're not to argue with it. We're not to debate it. We're to practice it, obey it, and apply its principles. Right? There was a soldier years ago that got his face disfigured in battle. But a surgeon told him, I think I can reconstruct your face. Do you have a picture? He said, I don't have a picture. It was a long time ago. I don't have no picture of myself. And the guy, he said, well, let's give you a picture, whatever you want. I think I can get you there. And the fellow said, no. He was discouraged. And the surgeon kept on. He finally said, there's a picture on the wall. The soldier didn't know it, but it was a picture of Jesus. Now, y'all know how I feel about pictures of Jesus. Nobody knows what He looked like. But nevertheless, you know what that looks like. So he said, well, just... The guy on the wall, use that picture. So when the surgeon got done and the man healed up, he looked in the mirror and he liked what he saw. He said, by the way, whose picture was that? He said, it was Jesus. And the fellow really didn't know anything about it. The doctor gave him a New Testament and said, go read the New Testament and learn about Jesus. The man came back later and he said, well, I might look like Him, but now I got to learn to act like Him too. Amen? Right? Well, I tell you what, We as Christians, professing Christians, sometimes we might know how to look, but we got to learn how to act like the Lord. And boy, that convicts all of us, doesn't it? Again, I say a good sign of true salvation is when you see somebody place an emphasis on the Bible, the Word of God, the ways of God, the will of God. They want to do what God wants them to do. He said, I do always those things that please Him. That's a good sign, somebody say. And they want to do that, and they want to live like that. You know, today, a lot of professing Christians and even churches today are not giving any regard whatsoever to what the Bible teaches on anything. Now, you know it's true today when it comes to marriage, people just aren't paying the Bible any mind. I listened to a little podcast the other day of a couple of preachers talking about it. They were talking about how weddings have changed since like the 1990s. In the last 25 years, they've changed a lot. And they're a lot more expensive and elaborate than they used to be, too. But they were saying, though, you get into these situations over and over and over again where people are living together long before they ever get married. But now these preachers were like, I marry them because they finally come to realize I need to do it right. I need to get this right. You know, and I understand that. You want to help people get it right. You're glad when they come to realize. But what I'm getting at is, folks, we're in a culture now to where people used to know what the Bible said and honored it. Now we're in a culture where people don't even regard the Bible. And I'm talking about folks that profess to be saved. And even churches today that aren't preaching the Bible. We're in trouble, right? But what am I saying? I'm saying true believers keep God's Word. If they're not, they'll get back around to it. Amen, right? You know, you train up a child the way he should go, not depart from it. Well, sometimes they do depart. That is a generality, but a lot of times they come back to it. Amen. Thank God for that. And that's certainly what you're praying for. Because I think if somebody's truly saved, the Word of God will be working on them, right? And they will pay attention to it. All right. Belief is the crucial element. They didn't believe him. Believers keep God's Word. These folks weren't doing it. Number three, I want to say this. Believers honor God. Again, he said, I do always those things that please him. That's honoring God, right? Now, in verse 49, if you look there, verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, because they accused him of being a devil. I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. He said, I honor my Father, you dishonor me. That doesn't match up. Hey, if you dishonor Jesus, you dishonor God up in heaven. Right? If you honor God, you honor Jesus. Amen? Y'all agree with that? Okay. Now, they had a really hard time listening to the Lord and obeying Him. Now, look at verse 40. Look at verse 40. I'm going to read some more in a minute, but I'm bouncing around. Verse 40. He said, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. This did not Abraham. What's that about? They were saying, hey, talking about fathers, we've got Father Abraham. We're good. We're okay. He said, really? He said, well, Abraham honored me. You don't. See, they had more honor for Abraham than they did Jesus. Jesus said, you honor Abraham? Abraham honored me. He talked about when Abraham looked forward to seeing my day. He did see it, by the way. He saw it in the promised son. He saw it whenever he was about to sacrifice his son. All those were types and pictures of Jesus, right? He believed in the coming Christ. Even though and faith was counted unto him as righteousness. It was all typology for him, but he still believed God. Well, here these folks are claiming to be descendants of Abraham, and they've got the one standing in front of them. And Jesus said, you want to kill me. Abraham didn't want to kill me. Abraham honored me. All right, let's read some verses. Go to verse 50. Let's go to verse 51. We'll read down through here. Now, verse 51, y'all know we were at verse 53 a little bit ago. But look, verse 51. Verily, verily, that's truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. All right? Isn't that the truth? Amen. But they argued. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, a man keep my saying, he shall never die, or taste of death. All right? Listen. What are they saying? Now, he's talking about spiritual eternal life. They're thinking physical terms. They're arguing Abraham. Oh, wait a minute. You said if a man keeps your word, he'll never die. Well, we got you now. Aha, we got you now. Abraham died and so did the prophets. Aha, see, you don't know what you're talking about. See what they're saying there? You must not know what you're talking about because Abraham died. All right, verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Boy, isn't that what statement that is, question that is. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are? Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be like a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. You hear what he said? I'd be a liar just like you are. He was pointed with them. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Again, how did he see it? Typology. He believed in future promises. Verse 57, now to think they got him again. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art you not yet 50 years old? Hast thou seen Abraham? You act like you know Abraham. He ain't even 50 years old. He's been gone hundreds of years. What are you talking about? And then look what Jesus said in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said before Abraham was, I am. He claimed to be God right there, the great I am. He said, I was around before Abraham because I am the great I am. Well, how'd that go over? Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. It wasn't time to die, so they couldn't kill him, right? But well, look what happened. They're not honoring the Lord. They honor Abraham. So the Lord said, Abraham honored me, why don't you? Abraham didn't want to kill me, why do you? Well, who do you think you are? You act like you know Abraham. You're not even 50 years old. I've been around long before Abraham. And then he told them, I am. Now, here's what I'm getting at. Abraham honored the Lord. These people didn't honor the Lord. You know, I believe today, folks, true believers honor Jesus. Amen? I'm preaching on this thought, see Jesus for who he is. They didn't see it. Abraham saw it. You've seen it. That religious crowd didn't see Jesus for who he is. But he told them who he is. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. He told them who he was, right? Who do you worship tonight? Let your faith be built up. You worship Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, and the eternal God. And the creator of the world. And Paul told us that in Colossians, right? He created it all. Who did? Jesus did. He's the great I am. You know, the enemies rejected him, his message, his deity, his eternality. They didn't see it. They really did not want to see it. They refused to see him for who he truly is. I believe true Christians, one sign of a true Christian is you receive Jesus for who he is. You know, most false doctrines, where are they wrong? About who Jesus is. They teach some crazy mess about who Jesus is. Most of them will say he's a created being, he's not the Son of God, which is blasphemy. Most false cults are wrong about who Jesus is, right? And these religious people here were wrong about who Jesus is. Now, somebody wrote this. I've shared this with you. Is this why I believe Jesus is God? Well, one, he was proclaimed by the Father. At the baptism of the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son. It was claimed by Jesus himself several times in the book of John and other places. It was witnessed to by the Spirit at the baptism of Jesus. It was acknowledged by angels at the birth of Jesus. It was confessed by the saints several times, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was confessed and proclaimed by demons that Jesus confronted. They said he was the Son of God. And it was manifested, as Jesus said, in the works and the miracles that he did. Why do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? It's all through the Bible. You know, whenever I preached through the book of John on Sunday mornings a few years back, how many times he said, I'm the one sent from heaven, and how many times he declared deity? It just gripped my soul. How many times you see that in the book of John? Do you see Jesus for who He is, really is? You know, Palm Sunday's this Sunday, then Easter. But you know what? I want to worship Him beyond those dates, amen? Those are special occasions, but I want to worship Him for who He is every week, amen? Not just on those special occasions like that. Now listen, folks, don't let other people make you feel like you're crazy. You're a fanatic. I'm crazy about Jesus, amen? That's right. Don't let the world think make you feel like you're crazy. Go ahead and proclaim the truth of who Jesus is, just like Jesus Himself did. And they argued with Him, they resisted Him, they debated Him, but remember point one, faith is the crucial element. You have to believe in it. Stand strong and proclaim Him, and rest assured in your faith that you are on the right side of all this stuff. Amen? You got the right Bible, the right book. You got the right message. You got the right gospel. You got the right doctrine. You got the right belief system. You got the right God. And you're going to the right heaven. Amen? And going to the right eternity. Those that die in their sins, not going to heaven, no matter how religious. Faith is that crucial element. But if you see somebody who keeps the Word of God and honors the Lord, those are points two and three. That's a pretty good sign. They got the real thing. Amen? And they have learned and recognized and received Christ for who He truly is. Amen? Be built up in your faith in church tonight that you're on the right track. You're on the narrow road, which is the right road. Amen? And thank God for it. See Jesus for who He really is. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, please?